And we're going to have a great time in church today. Whether you're a mother or not, I believe God wants to speak to your heart. We want to consider the DNA of a mother's heart. We're going to begin with a little clip this morning. What's it like to be a mother?
And right there's the heartbeat. Do you have any kids?
Three, actually.
Wow, that sounds crazy.
Crazy? In the best way possible.
So what's it like being a mom?
Mom, I ain't feeling too good.
Oh, no. It's okay, Sugar Bear. Let's just go in there.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh, it's okay, sweetie. Next time, we'll just run to the washer.
Why are you watching me sleep?
Because you're my baby boy, and I love you.
It's still creepy, Mom.
Grounded for the rest of your life? Yes. Yes, it does. So in the future, you and I can just refer to it as the monthly visitor.
Stupid. Why am I so stupid?
What did you just say to my son?
What?
My son is not stupid. My son is smart. He was formed by God's hands. He was dreamed up by his heart. And he was placed in this world with a purpose. You, my son, could never be stupid.
What? Mom would never do something like that. She's way too predictable.
I know, right?
How's that for predictable? Nostradamus.
To do. The summer's gonna go by so fast, and we still have to pick out my dorm room furniture.
Slow down.
What?
Maybe I'm not ready to let you go yet.
Mom.
Yes, Mom. That's who I am. Is it so bad that I just want to take care of you forever?
You already have. Everything you've done for me, everything you've taught me, I'll take it with me wherever I go. You have taken care of me for life.
So what's it like being a mom?
How much time you got?
Praise the Lord. What's it like being a mom? Anybody identify with any parts of that? I leaned over to my wife. We grounded our daughter for the rest of her life once. I remember that, yeah. If you've never done that, you praise the Lord. Well, it's great being here today. We want to remind you that we do have an offering box in the back. We do not pass an offering plate here if you're new, so we appreciate your giving and your faithfulness. We have a picture today for the church outside the wall. You probably recognize this person. This is at Friends University. My wife went there, and Kelly received the Greek Student of the Year Award. What do you think about that? Let's give her a minute. They invited my wife to stay for class, but she said everything was Greek to her, so it didn't really matter. But I couldn't think anybody deserves that more. Church outside the walls. I want to encourage you to realize that after you leave here is where everything really begins to happen. Well, today is Mother's Day, and I think it's appropriate that we celebrate Mother's Day on Sunday because it has its roots in the church here in our country anyway. Mother's Day has a special meaning. However, for many of you this morning, and I don't know all your stories, but Mother's Day may stir up different kinds of feelings. Maybe it's positive. Maybe it's negative. Maybe it's happy. Maybe it's sad feelings. Maybe your childhood was a negative experience, or maybe it was the best experience of your entire life. Maybe your mother is no longer with you, and Mother's Day reminds you how much you miss her. Maybe your heart's desire has been to have a child, but it hasn't happened yet. And Mother's Day reminds you of your disappointment. Probably there are some here who have that experience. You might be a mother who your children are alienated from you. That's got to be pretty painful. And Mother's Day is a reminder when the phone does not ring. You don't hear from your children, and you wish you could. But I have a prayer for you this morning, and that is, no matter what emotion that you may be feeling, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit's going to use this time to speak freshness into your heart, and that He's going to prepare you to receive one thing just for you. I want you to be expecting that one thing in this service just for you. You say, I'm not a mom. I should have stayed home today. No, I believe that we are going to learn things from the DNA of the heart of a mother that I believe can speak to every one of us. You know, our series has been on discovering our spiritual DNA. If you've been here the last few weeks, we've been talking about living our name. Last week, we talked about community. Well, today, how appropriate. We want to consider the DNA of a mother's heart. And in your program, you'll have a little insert, and you can just follow along and fill in the spaces. Number one, the mother's heart is an expression of God's divine plan. You see it in every mother. What is God's divine plan? In the very beginning, in Genesis 1:28, it says that God blessed them. Anybody here want to be blessed by God? He said, God bless them. And then He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Wow. That's God's plan from the very beginning. What's that mean? It means have children. It means grow your family. See, we bought into this idea, and I have too, over the years. We're going to have family planning, and we're going to keep our family size small. Is that what God had in mind? Maybe not. He said, fill the earth. He said, multiply. Some of you have been better at this than others, but I believe God has called us to this. It is His blessing. The world would have you think it's a curse. In fact, somebody say, how many children do you have? I have seven. Oh, I'm sorry. What? No, we should be going, praise the Lord. You are blessed because you are fulfilling God's divine purpose. Marriage and family was in the heart of God before it was ever in our hearts. It was God's idea from day one that the family would take precedence. The family existed before sin came into the world. The family existed before government, even before the church. The family was God's top priority. Last week we talked about community. Remember the bullseye. We're going for a 10. Family is a 10. It's God's expression of connectivity and community. It is the bullseye that God wanted us to shoot for, and it was in His heart from the beginning. It is God's top priority, and that's why Satan works overtime to attack the family. Have you ever wondered why the family is under attack? It is because the enemy knows that this is God's number one plan. And so if he can come against the family, then everything else will crumble. That's why we must do everything as a church. Our DNA is to put family first. Is that right? Our DNA is to lift up family as a top priority. That's why we're pro-life. I believe that we should be pro-life as Christians. I know there's this big debate out there, but it's pretty simple for me, and I'm going to simplify it for you. It's just this simple. And how many of you remember the Summer of Mercy? You remember that? Well, boy, it changed the church community here, didn't it? It woke us up. Well, I remember that Larry King is one of the most pro-choice people I know. He's pro-abortion, but he said something that made sense to me. He didn't know it, but he did. He simplified it for me. He said, you know, really, there's only one question. Is it a child? It's the only question. Set your Bible aside. And if you're ever talking to somebody who's pro-abortion, just ask them, is it a child? Because if it's a child, Larry King said, if it's a child, then when is it okay to take the life of a child? Well, that just kind of simplified it for me. How about you? And that's the only argument. We have the high road because God is the high road, and it's part of our DNA. Did you ever think about it, that the one thing that drives the enemy crazy is something you can do that he cannot do? You get to procreate. Now think about how hard that is on the enemy. He's working. He's come to kill and destroy and to steal. He comes to tempt us. He comes to draw us away from life. And sometimes it feels like he has the upper hand. Is that right? And just about the time the enemy and all of his demons think, man, we're making headway here, guess what? We have more children. And people keep coming. Can you imagine what a thorn in the flesh that is to the enemy? They just keep coming. Remember what my wife said. Every 100 years, there's all new people. And he has to start all over again. Amen? I can just imagine they're pulling their hair out, man. We thought we had the upper hand, and here comes a whole new wave of people. It is God's plan. It is His divine plan, and the heart of the mother reveals that to us. Number two, a mother's heart is a reflection of God's heart. John 3:16, we know it. It's the heart of sacrifice. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Wow. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I believe a mother's heart is a heart of sacrifice. It's also a heart of unconditional love. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? Or persecution? How about famine or nakedness or danger? How about the sword? It is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, he says, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you believe that's true? Huh? Amen. That's enough right there. We can just go home right now. If that's true, then how does that affect your life? I believe that mothers are an expression of that. It's in a mother's DNA. It's part of her heart. It's true. I visit a lot in prison and in jails. And do you know who I see in the visitation room? Mothers. Mothers. You see a few dads here and there, but it's moms who are there. Why? It's part of their DNA. They never give up on their kids. Is that right? You know my testimony, and I'm sending a copy of this to my mom. When I was institutionalized, there was visitation every week. My mom was always there. And all, she came like clockwork. I remember one week when she didn't come. It really bothered me because I couldn't find out why. It disturbed me until the next week when I got to see her and she told me what had happened. I looked for that visit. She was consistent. She was steady. And you know, when other people wrote me off, my mom never wrote me off. When things were contrary to hope, and hope she believed. We kid about it now. My mom would say, well, the more I prayed, the worse things got. She couldn't even imagine what God had in store. I believe God uses, He uses mothers. And He gives them this DNA in their hearts. That's what it's all about. I remember reading a story once about Dwight D. Eisenhower, our president. And his mother, a gray-haired woman, was sitting in a room one day waiting for the president to come. And somebody sitting next to her said, oh, you must be so proud of your son, your illustrious son. And she looked at him and she said, which one? Which one? You know, moms are kind of like that, aren't they? They love equally. My mom, I kid her all the time, and she's going to laugh when she hears this. But I'm always teasing my mom. I tell her, there's five of us. I say, Mom, I know I'm number one. She says, no. She says, I love all my children equally. You moms identify with that? I say, well, Mom, I know deep in your heart that I'm your favorite. No. She gets red-faced about it. I said, listen, I'll know when you say that, you're just talking code. And as long as you and I know, that's all that matters. Oh, it just frustrates her to no end. I was at Walmart one day and I found a card. It says, you're number one. So I bought it. And I put a little X in there, a place for my mom to sign it. And I mailed it to her with a self-addressed stamped envelope to mail it back to me. I said, Mom, I found this card at Walmart. I know if you'd have seen it, you would have bought it. So I bought it for you. And all you have to do is sign it. Put it in the self-addressed stamped envelope, drop it in the box. She wouldn't do it. She refused to do it. Why? Because the mother's heart loves equally her children. Is that true? A mother wants to protect, to cover, to nurture. Jesus speaking over the city of Jerusalem, declared, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, God's heart is to draw us to Him. Mothers' hearts are the same way, right? Here's number three, a mother's heart. Is this true? Is it true? Moms, you know two things. You know pain and you know joy. Is it possible for two things to be true at the same time? It is, isn't it? In Genesis 3:16, because sin entered into the world, God said, in pain you shall bring forth children. Is that true? I'm sure glad I'm a guy when it comes to the birthing room. How about you? I mean, now I know there's some of you ladies, you just waltz right through that thing. But most do not, right? It can be a painful experience, but I believe it's more than just the birthing process that's painful. I believe raising your children can be painful. It has a positive and negative side, just like the battery that you see in the photograph there. You got to have both, don't you? It's both. It's not just one or the other, but life is like that. If you've been watching the news lately in Baltimore with the riots, kind of sad. They had to call out the National Guard, didn't they? How many of you saw the mother who became so popular this week? Toya Graham was her name. She saw her son on the news, and she headed down there to take care of matters. She saw him in that mask. She saw him with that brick in his hand. And that mother's heart said, hey, I'm going down there, and I'm going to take care of my son. They caught her on the news. Said, don't call out the National Guard. Just send in the moms. I think that's true, right? And even the mayor said, if I just had some more moms, We could take care of this thing. Some are voting for her to be the mother of the year. I don't know. She was kind of rough on him if you see the whole clip. I always tease my mom. I said, Mom, I called her up one day. I said, Mom, I've been having flashbacks of my childhood. And I think I'm going to need counseling. She said, well, what kind of flashbacks are you having? I said, well, I'm remembering you beating me with a hairbrush. She said, I never beat you with a hairbrush. I said, well, that's what I remember. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I got conference call capability here. You wouldn't care if I called my siblings and verify this. She said, you go right ahead. I know you're enjoying this, Mom, as you're listening to it. I called my brother in Kansas City. I said, David, I got Mom on the phone here. I'm having issues. I'm going to need counseling. I'm remembering Mom beating me with a hairbrush. She says it never happened. What do you say? He goes, oh, I can't even brush my own hair. He said, I go to Walmart. I got to walk around the hairbrush section because it makes me shake. I said, really? I said, well, you're sicker than I am. All this time, we never knew it. She goes, oh, you guys planned this. I said, Mom, no, this is spontaneous. She said, well, it's just not true. I said, okay, you forced me. You have forced me to play the ace card. I'm going to call my youngest sister. We call her the anointed one. Do you have any younger siblings? Does no wrong, tells no lies. She said, okay, you call her up. So I did. I called her. She works for my competitor, State Farm. And I said, I'm sorry to call you at work, Joyce, but I got David on the line with me and Mom and me, and I've been having issues, and I just found out that David's sicker than I am with this issue of Mom beating us with a hairbrush, and it's creating problems later in our life. Mom says it never happened. What do you say? It was so beautiful. I wish I'd have recorded it. She said, well, I don't remember Mom beating me with a hairbrush, but I do remember her beating the two of you. Oh, my gosh. So we went to Walmart that night, didn't we? We bought a hairbrush, and we sent it to my mom. We marked it Exhibit A, and we mailed it to her. Gosh. Well, this poor kid, he wishes she beat him with a hairbrush. She didn't need a hairbrush. I love the quotes that came from this story. The young man, when he was interviewed, said, when I heard her voice, I knew it was World War III from right there. Oh, the heart of a mom. They interviewed the mom later, and I loved her quote. She said, I wasn't there to be recorded. I was there to get my child. See, she couldn't help it. It's part of her DNA, is that right? Jesus was teaching his disciples in John, the 16th chapter, about his departure and the sadness that would follow. He wanted them to know that they would experience sorrow, but there would also be great joy that would follow. He used childbirth to illustrate his point. He said, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. Is that true, guys? Is that true, moms? It is, isn't it? Right after birth, our first child, my wife said, that's it. No more. You know? But it didn't take long. Didn't take long. That anguish was gone. And the joy of that child. You can experience pain and joy all at the same time. Lastly, and this is where we want to focus this morning, a mother's heart is a heart of faith. Is that true? The best example I know is Jochebed, Moses' mother. You heard the text this morning. In the book of Hebrews, it refers to it. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. I haven't met a parent who doesn't think their kid is no ordinary child. Is that right? Yeah. Hey, my child is special, right? You think, oh, goodness, they're always bragging about their kids. Yeah, it's the heart of a mother. It's part of her DNA. When she looks at that child, she doesn't see what other people see. She sees the potential. Her heart is full of love. He was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So, as we read in the text this morning, Exodus 2, here it was. A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Let me ask you, how hard is it to hide a child for 3 months? See, what was going on, you have to understand in the context, every Hebrew child that was from 0 to 2 years old was going to be murdered. The order had been given, the edict had been sent out that every Hebrew child under the age of 2 would be taken to the river Nile and they would hold their heads under the water until the bubbles stopped. The scriptures say a cry went out over the land. What kind of cry was it? It was the cry of mothers. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? We read the story. Can you imagine somebody coming to your house, knocking on your door and ripping your baby right out of your hands, and you know you'll never see that child again because he will breathe his last breath that day? If you were a mother, what would you do? Mothers have an incredible DNA, an incredible DNA. So what'd she do? She hid the child. She hid him for 3 months. She hid this child. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt compassion for him. See, mothers are different than fathers. Is that true when it comes to babies crying? It's true. My wife could hear a whimper on the other side of the house. What was that? I said, I don't know. What was it? I heard one of the children. You did? I didn't hear anything. When babies cry, dads would like to say, what do we got to do to make this stop? But when mamas hear it, their hearts are full of compassion. It's their DNA. It's how God made them. And even here, in this case, he was crying. She felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? How cool is that? She says, yeah, go get one of the Hebrew. Oh, I know someone. I think I know someone. She's right over here. Little did Pharaoh's daughter know this was the mother of this child. And in fact, the scriptures say, hey, if you'll nurse this baby, I'll pay you. How many moms would be interested in that gig, huh? Yeah, hey, listen, we'll pay you to be a mom. How awesome is that, right? Wow. God had a plan. What do we learn from this story? I want to just real quickly give you a couple things. First off, you'll know, remember, three things. What are the three things you always see in every account? They're there, the three parts. There's God's part. There's my part. And there's other people's part. In this case, God had a plan that no one could even know. We read the story. We know the story. Yeah, we're looking through the rearview mirror, but they're not. But God knew that story before it ever happened. Now, here's Moses' mom, Jochebed. She had a part to play. What was her part? It was in her DNA. It was a heart of faith. She said, I'm going to believe for my son. And she did something that was totally unreasonable. How many of you have unreasonable faith? We need some unreasonable faith. See, we're so deep into reason today. What is reason? Did your mom ever say to you, you're just being unreasonable? What's she saying? You know, hey, listen, God's calling us to be unreasonable in our faith. She takes a basket. She hides her child for 3 months. Now listen, moms, here's your application. You're going to have your children with you, hopefully, for X amount of years. Hopefully, it doesn't go beyond certain numbers. Some parents are going, whoop, whoop. But there comes a time, doesn't there? I mean, that's not normal. There comes a time when you can't protect your children anymore. Moses' mom wanted to protect him. I mean, this wasn't just going away to college. They're going to kill my son. And when she did everything she possibly could, she did her part. But then when she could hide the child no longer, and there will come a time in your life when you will have to let your children go. And you, just like Moses' mom, will prepare an ark for them. You will do your best. But I want you to notice where she put this basket. She could have put it anywhere. But she put it in the Nile River. What was that river? It was a place of death. She put him in the very river that claimed the lives of thousands of children. Let me tell you something, parents. There'll come a time when you will release your children into the world, the very world that wants to kill them, the very world that wants to consume them, the very world that wants to suck everything out of them that you put in them. And you know what you're going to get to do? You're going to release them into that world by faith, believing that God has a bigger plan. Amen? She did everything within her power. She prepared the basket. She covered it with pitch. She didn't know what was going to happen. Can you imagine that moment when she just kind of pushed it out there? What's going to happen? It could have tipped over. He could have drowned. What happens if, in fact, my thought would have been, naturally, that if Pharaoh's daughter finds this basket, she's going to say, hey, this is a Hebrew kid. Let's drown him right now. Let's just hold him under the water. No, that's not what happened, is it? God had a better plan than that. And so when you release your children into the world after you can hide them no longer, that's when God does a work oftentimes in providence that you cannot even know. Do you think that his mother knew even for a moment that this child was going to become the leader of the children of Israel, that he was going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, and that he was going to go to the mountain of God, and he was going to meet him there, and God was going to take his finger and write out the Ten Commandments and give it to the baby in this basket? Do you think mom knew that? She didn't know that. How could she know that? And I want you to know, you might be looking at your situation right now thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. No, you don't. But by faith, you release your children. My mom, she just prayed that I would survive. She said, will he even live? He's probably going to end up dying in the street somewhere. No, God had other plans. In fact, if somebody would have said to my mom, hey, you know, your son's going to be a preacher someday. Yeah, sure he is. God knew that. What part did my mom play? She had a heart of faith. She never gave up on me. When other people said, this kid, psh, I even had somebody tell my mom once, well, you know, you got five children, you know, four are pretty good, you know, four out of five's not too bad. I remember once somebody told her once, even Jesus had Judas. Boy, that would encourage you as a mom, wouldn't it? Even Jesus had Judas. Hey, what's one? But the mother's heart will have no part of it. A mother's heart will not do that. No, no. He wants to gather the little hens, just like the mother hen, into her brood. It's her heart. She can't help it. She's wired that way. And God has a plan, and mom, you're part of it. So this morning, as we close this service, we want to honor moms. I love this picture. It shows all the generations. I want to encourage you today to honor your mother. Now, we have on this table carnations. Some are red, and some are white. The white carnations represent the moms who aren't with us anymore. They're in heaven. Is your mom in heaven? This morning, I'm going to invite you to come forward and take a white carnation if your mom is no longer here with us. I thought this morning that I would be taking a white flower just a week ago. But it didn't happen. I was ready for it to happen, but it didn't happen. My mom is still with us. But I know for some of you that's not the case. And I want you to know, moms aren't built to live forever. It just wasn't meant to be. We're here for a time on earth. And so today I want to encourage you to honor your mom, even though she might be gone. The red coronation will be for those of us whose moms are still here. And I want you, and everybody's, has everybody here got a mom? If you don't have a mom, tell me, because I want to meet you. I don't know how you got here, but we all came through that plan, right? I want you to take a red carnation, no matter what your emotion is about Mother's Day today, and I want you to honor your mom in her memory. Whether she might be here, maybe you'll connect with her today, maybe you won't. I'm going to talk to my mom on the phone. I want you to call. There's some moms, the phone will not ring today, and their hearts will be broken. My heart goes out to those moms. I don't want that to be my mom. How about you? Say, my mom doesn't deserve it. Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother. It is the first commandment with a promise. The promise is that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You want that promise? There's only one way to get it. It's a doorway of being able to honor our parents. This is not just for little people. This is for grown adults. I have a question for you this morning. Those of you who are grown now and have children of your own, how do you talk about your parents in front of your children? I guarantee you, you will reap what you sow. We want to teach our children to honor. I believe in our culture today, we need to restore the ministry of honoring. It means to value at a price. Our culture's lost it. We don't honor authority anymore. We don't honor. It starts, where does it start? It starts right in the home. That's where it all starts to fall apart. When we cease to honor in the family unit, moms and dads. It's not about parents being perfect, that God used them to gift you into the world. And I want to encourage you today to honor them. As you take a flower this morning, I want you to take it with you. Now, if you're going to see your mom, you can give her the flower. If you're not going to see your mom, then you keep it and you put it somewhere where it'll remind you of her. I was sharing in the first service, and also for moms only today, we have a little book to go with your flower that you'll enjoy. But I know sometimes people will have a list of things about their mom that they don't like. I have a practice. I was sharing this with staff the other day. I have a little book. I call it my Worthy of Praise book. Because the scripture says we need to dwell on the things that are worthy of praise. And in this book, I have some of your names written. And under your name, Mike, your name's in there. My wife's name's in there. And ever so often, I will put under your name things that are worthy of praise about you. Something maybe you've said to me or done. It's only positive things. And my wife, she's got 3 pages. I got 3 pages under her name of things. Why do I do that? Because some days you don't feel like honoring. Some days you get a little crossways with life. And maybe you get a little negative. That's when I go to my book. I open the pages, especially if it's about that person, and I start reading the things that are worthy of praise about them. I want to encourage you to do that about your mom. Even though my mom beat me with a hairbrush, I'm still going to remember her in a positive way. She's going to kill me when she hears this. She's going to kill me. Mom, I love you, Mom. Without you, I don't know where I would be today. When other people wrote me off, you never did, because your DNA is the DNA of the heart of God. And that's what we celebrate today. So I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to first invite those who need the white flower today. If your mother's no longer here, I want you to rise up out of your chair and come down here and take a flower this morning. Would you do that? Would you do that in honor of your mom? Thank you. It gives me goosebumps. How did we know there would be just enough? See, God knows these things. And our days are held in His hand. I'm not looking forward to the day I say goodbye to my mom, but I know it's coming. We had a young man in the early service. His name is Chad. He came up to me this morning. You know what he told me? My mother was robbed yesterday and shot in Dallas. Young man in our early service. Looks like she's going to live. But boy, that'll shake your world. A young mother. Don't take things for granted. And never waste a day and an opportunity to honor. Let's restore honor and let it begin right here. And then let it go out from there. Honor your boss. Honor your fellow employees. Honor here at church. Honor. Let's value one another. Amen. The rest of you who are fortunate enough as I am, your mom's still here. I invite you to come and take a red carnation. Take it with you. Come. Stand with me, church. We have a few flowers left over. If you have a neighbor or something or someone, or maybe you know one of those moms whose phone is not going to ring today, I want to encourage you to come and take a flower to that mom and let her know that she's loved and cared about. Amen. I don't know what you're going to do to honor your mom today, but I believe God will speak something into your heart, and I encourage you to do something unreasonable. Something unreasonable. Let God tell you what that is. Cynthia Limer was in early service this morning. I said, Cynthia, what are you doing special for Mother's Day today? She said, same old, same old. I said, really? Yeah. What she didn't know is that her children were waiting out in the hall to come in and surprise her this morning. So they came in, sat with her, oh, I said, same old, huh? Same old, same old. Don't let your mom have a same old. Do something unreasonable for her today and let her know that you love her and that her heart is part of your heart today. Amen. Write mom on a piece of paper. Turn it upside down. What does it spell? Wow. Let your mom know she's a wow today. Don't let anybody take your wow from you. That's your mom. And you let her know, I'm going to do that. I'm calling my mom. I call my mom every day now. She's down in Dallas. I found out yesterday, my sister said, oh, I call mom 3 times a day. I went, what? 3 you're making me look bad. So that we don't want to get into a calling war, but it might happen. Isn't it fun? My mom loves it. She loves it. Because why? Because I want my mom to know she's valuable. She's valuable. To honor is to value at a price. God will show you what to do. Amen. Father, I pray you bless this church. As we leave this place, we're going to celebrate Mom's Day. For some of us, Mom, we have memories and stories. I pray we could sit around today and talk about them and remember and never forget what our moms mean to us. And at the same time that we can reach out to our own children. Lord, help us to do something unreasonable today for those we love the most. Fill this church with a spirit of honor. Next week, former pastors are coming. We want to honor them for our history and our heritage. We must never forget where we've come from, because that determines where we're going. Lord, would you help us celebrate next week that wonderful heritage? Let it begin here in our homes. Now, Father, I pray that this congregation would go with your blessing, that we would understand the love that you have for us, Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of our Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go. We're going to be up here to pray. If you feel God stirring in your heart somehow, just gather up here, minister. If you see somebody come, take your liberty. Take advantage of the body of Christ. We love you. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.